hope that you've had a really nice weekend, hopefully with some friends and family, that you've gotten a chance to take a break from work and just connect with people that are important to you, just to feel alive and connected and hopefully integrated in your life, moving away from the type of alienation that so characterizes our society. In this short episode, what I want to do is to read one of the latest blogs that I wrote on my website, where I try to bring together one of the therapy modalities that I utilize, metacognitive therapy, with Byung-Chul Han's philosophy in the burnout society. So I'm going to read the blog, and hopefully you enjoy it. Hopefully it's something that speaks to you and challenges you, helps you to think about our society and your existential situation from a different perspective. So the blog is entitled Metacognitive Therapy in the Burnout Society. And if you hear some grunts, if you hear some weird noises, I'm holding my little puppy, Merlin, who's a French bulldog, and you know, their snouts are all squished in, and so he kind of sounds like a guinea pig or some kind of weird alien from a video game sometimes. So here's the blog. The Burnout Society. We live in what Korean philosopher Byung-Chul Han calls the burnout society. Many of us feel overwhelmed, cognitively fried, and highly anxious. Another way to think about our collective burnout is to suggest that we have transitioned into an achievement society. Han distinguishes the disciplinary society from our current achievement society. In the disciplinary society, the powers that be utilize negative prohibitions to control people. The modal verb of the disciplinary society was should or must. A man should be strong and not cry. A woman must not work and stay at home and raise the children. Think of the prohibitions of organized religion. According to Han, unlimited can is the positive modal verb of achievement society. You can accomplish anything with the right mindset. You can have it all: meaningful work, family, success. We have moved from negative prohibition to endless possibility. The transition into the achievement society has not resulted in greater freedom and well-being. In fact, for many of us, it's resulted in the exact opposite. According to the Anxiety and Depression Association of America, anxiety disorders are the most common mental illness in the United States, affecting 40 million adults. That's 19.1% of the population, age 18 and older, every single year. In this disciplinary society, a force from the outside wielded power and sought to control the person. In our own achievement society, we have learned to exploit and control ourselves. So I see this tendency towards self-exploitation in the gym culture of Instagram and TikTok. Young men are encouraged to push themselves to their absolute limit, often beyond it. You can always pursue the next personal record. There's always something more that you can accomplish. While lifting weights can be a healthy outlet, I've witnessed how it can lead to physical injury and body dysmorphia in the achievement society. Now, I'm especially prone to the tyranny of the can when it comes to staying digitally connected to work. With a supercomputer in my pocket, I can always send another email, always write another blog, or schedule another appointment. It's hard to escape, even on vacation. A few weeks back, when my wife and I drove out of the city to celebrate my birthday just to escape the daily grind, Apple Maps continued to redirect all of our excursions back to my office. Rumination in the digital world. Rumination is a form of repetitive thinking or dwelling on negative content and feelings. According to the American Psychiatric Association, the repetitive negative aspect of rumination can contribute to the development of depression or anxiety and can worsen existing conditions. I think rumination and anxiety disorders are a big problem in our digital achievement society. With the call to achieve more and more, we are bound to feel overwhelmed and exhausted. Which one of us does not ruminate over our failure to keep up with the endless achievements of influencers on Instagram? Rumination, fueled by our constant exposure to the digital, has exacerbated our collective burnout and anxiety. I'll be honest and say I don't see an easy solution on the horizon. I'm often discouraged by the systemic realities that would need to change to make a drastic difference. That said, I am not without hope. As a psychotherapist, I do believe there are alternative ways to exist in the world that don't lead to the same levels of burnout and anxiety. Metacognitive therapy, one of the therapeutic modalities I utilize with clients, is called metacognitive therapy, or MCT. MCT is a psychotherapy approach that links mental illness to unhelpful thinking patterns like worry and rumination. The goal of MCT is to help reduce worry and rumination through a change in metacognitive beliefs and the practice of detached mindfulness. MCT was created by Adrian Wells, professor of clinical and experimental psychopathology at the University of Manchester. MCT emerged out of the research of Wells and a few of his colleagues on information processing models. MCT is now considered an evidence-based treatment modality. Like cognitive behavioral therapy, or CBT, and rational emotive behavioral therapy, or REBT, MCT is a type of cognitive therapy. Cognitive therapies emphasize irrational beliefs or cognitive distortions as the root cause of psychological disturbance. MCT affirms the notion that cognition is at the root of psychological disturbance, but with a very important caveat that distinguishes it from other forms of cognitive therapy. Whereas CBT and REBT highlight cognitive distortions, in other words, black and white thinking as the root of psychological distress, MCT focuses on our cognitive attentional syndrome, or CAS. According to Adrian Wells, CAS is marked by engaging in excessive amounts of sustained verbal thinking and dwelling in the form of worry and rumination. This is accompanied by a specific attentional bias in which attention is locked onto threat. Another way to distinguish MCT from other cognitive therapies is to say that while CBT and REBT are interested in targeting ordinary cognitions concerning the world and the social and the physical self, MCT focuses on our beliefs about thinking, or our metacognitive beliefs. Metacognitive beliefs. Metacognition refers to our capacity to think about our thinking. Metacognitive beliefs are beliefs about our beliefs. According to MCT, we tend to have beliefs about our thoughts and feelings, which carry negative and positive judgments about how we should respond to such thoughts and feelings. We have positive and negative metacognitive beliefs about our rumination and worry. Positive metacognitive beliefs concern the usefulness of worry, rumination, threat monitoring, or unhelpful coping strategies. Here are some examples. If I worry, I will be prepared. Focusing on danger will keep me safe. If I analyze why I feel this way, I'll find answers. Avoiding this situation will help me overcome my issue. Negative metacognitive beliefs concern the negative significance of our internal cognitive styles of processing. The two subtypes of negative metacognitive beliefs are uncontrollability and danger beliefs. Here are examples of uncontrollability metacognitive beliefs. I do not control my worry or rumination. I cannot control my attention. Examples of danger metacognitive beliefs are Psychological distress can make me lose my mind. Bad thoughts have the power to make me do bad things. According to MCT, metacognitive beliefs influence what we focus on and the strategies we employ to manage unwanted thoughts and feelings. Unhealthy metacognitive beliefs can result in anxiety disorders since they encourage excessive worry and rumination. Profound boredom. Before introducing MCT's primary therapeutic intervention, I want to return to Byung-Chul Han and the Burnout Society. We are all addicted to our screens and spend hours a day scrolling through social media. We exploit ourselves through endless achievement and staying tethered to our jobs. The negative thoughts and emotions that emerge out of our nonstop digital connection coalesce into patterns of worry and rumination that lead to anxiety, depression, and burnout. What is Han's remedy for our collective burnout? Han is no prophet of self-help or simplistic formulas. He's not interested in promoting another capitalist gimmick that will line the pockets of the next influencer or expert. Han's solution to our collective burnout is to experience profound boredom. Han writes, "If sleep represents the high point of bodily relaxation, deep boredom is the peak of mental relaxation." Han is calling us to disconnect from our screens, go for a walk in nature, and learn to tolerate the uncomfortable irritation of boredom. In boredom, there is nothing to achieve. There is no modal verb commanding us to experience the next novel dopamine hit. Boredom is a settling into the way things are, a state of being rather than doing or having. Han's understanding of boredom makes sense within the larger framework of what he calls the vita contemplativa, the contemplative life. The contemplative life. Later this month, Han's book, Vita Contemplativa, In Praise of Inactivity, comes out in English. I'm really anticipating that he'll elaborate on some of these themes broached in his Burnout Society. Detached mindfulness in the Burnout Society. Throughout this blog, I've tried to connect the philosophy of Byung-Chul Han with MCT. In this final section, I want to imagine Han's call to a state of deep boredom or contemplative lingering in a way that corresponds to metacognitive therapy's primary intervention. Detached mindfulness is an MCT intervention that encourages one to become aware of a thought, mindfulness, and doing nothing with that thought detached. Here's an image, an analogy that I often use with clients. Think of a beach ball, which stands for negative thoughts or emotions, that you carry around with you throughout a day. You don't kick the ball out of sight or shove it down under the water. The goal is to walk around your day with the ball gently tucked underneath your arm. According to Shang Zhou Rasul Olson, detached mindfulness means to coexist with thoughts as one would coexist with background noise. Mindfulness encourages awareness of thoughts, while detachment requires that we not engage, avoid, or suppress these thoughts. It's important to distinguish detached mindfulness in MCT from other common understandings of mindfulness in the world of psychotherapy. Detached mindfulness is not a technique to stop negative thoughts, which isn't possible, or to reduce discomfort. According to Olson, detached mindfulness is not a tool, not a way to get rid of negative thoughts, not a way to get rid of negative feelings. It's not a way to feel calm. It's not a tool to have a blank mind. It's not a meditation or mindfulness technique. It's not a thought transformation technique. It's not a philosophy. It's not even an active strategy. Detached mindfulness is not a way to get rid of your negative thoughts. I can't say that often enough. That's not possible. It's not a way to feel calm or develop a blank mind. As counterintuitive as this sounds, detached mindfulness is a do-nothing strategy. Detached mindfulness is a cognitive strategy that is the very antithesis of rumination, worry, and thought suppression. Detached mindfulness is about letting our thoughts be in our awareness without pushing them away. For Olson, when you practice detached mindfulness correctly, you feel mentally relaxed because you are not exerting effort to transform thoughts. In fact, if you feel lazy, you are doing detached mindfulness right. I would agree, or I would argue with Han in mind, that if you feel bored, you're doing detached mindfulness right. It's really time to challenge our metacognitive beliefs about the utility of rumination. The research suggests that rumination is not an effective strategy to solve problems or regulate emotional distress. After modifying our metacognitive beliefs about rumination and worry, the call is to practice detached mindfulness with no ulterior motive in mind. We don't have to accomplish anything or achieve greater enlightenment. It's okay to exist in this difficult world in a state of boredom and contemplative lingering. While it may not sound like the most exciting prospect, it sure beats the frenetic insanity that has resulted in our burnout society. I want to thank everyone for listening. If you want to go back and read the blog, you can do so on my website. I'll include a link in the show notes. So I'm doing a lot of thinking and writing and reflecting on this concept of rumination lately, thinking about metacognitive therapy, thinking about Byung-Chul Han's burnout society and what he calls the achievement society. But as I'm doing this, I'm also realizing that, you know, there's going to be a lot of questions from listeners and from my clients on what is the difference between healthy self-reflection, which I think is essential to living a life characterized by well-being and satisfaction and joy and just psychological depth. What is the difference between that, what Socrates wanted us to do, right, to truly know ourselves, to live a life worth living, and what I just described in the blog, which is a really unhealthy, almost automatic metacognitive coping strategy, rumination, that many of us struggle with in the contemporary world. I think there's some overlap between the two. I'm not saying that setting time aside to problem solve or to deeply reflect on yourself is bad, but that's very different than rumination. And so I want to continue to create a sharp division between those two activities while highlighting areas where they may overlap. And so I'm hoping that whether it's a future blog or a blog and a podcast episode, I'll go deeper into how to differentiate between self-reflection and rumination. As always, I hope you enjoyed this episode. Share it with anyone who might benefit from it. And remember, continue the conversation.